This is Jim and Jory Mansky with the Vortex of Submission.
We'll begin with a self-connection exercise. Let's just settle in to this moment, right here, right now. Noticing whatever you notice around you. Perhaps you notice sounds. As you look around in your environment, just notice anything that might stand out for you, just allowing yourself to gently just be present with whatever you see. And also to notice any physical sensations on your skin. What does the air feel like? Perhaps the clothing or the seat where you're sitting, what do they feel like? And then notice the part of you that's noticing. Notice your own awareness. No matter what's happening, that level of consciousness. Be more attuned to what's happening now than usual. Notice the aliveness, awareness, that state of being with senses. And shift the attention of that being with to inside your body. Noticing any physical sensations. The core of your body, around your stomach and around your heart. Maybe you notice some movement or stillness. Some pressure or some relaxation. Heat or coolness. Notice, and maybe even as you put your attention, being with what's going on inside of your body, you might notice that the physical sensations have shifted. So be with that flow and shift. Attentive. Notice any emotions that you may be feeling. It may be calm, it may be agitated, maybe some sadness or joy, whatever it is for you. just notice that with the same beingness, almost like curiosity or presence to be with. And then following that through, connecting to whatever the feeling is, just gently inquire, what is that feeling telling me about the essence of my being, of what is important to me? And as you connect in, maybe it's peace, maybe it's connection, maybe it's learning, whatever it is for you, sitting and holding that need, see if any requests arise in you. What is it that you would like, or could, what could it be that could address needs that you're holding right now? And as you expand your circle more outwardly, being aware, the others, kind of bring them into your heart. Bring our community into your heart. Holding us all with that sense of unity. We are part of one thing. I'm together, our shared intentions, even our differences, allowing them to be whole in your heart.
Love to hear in the check-in how you are, any celebrations or mourning that might be up for you about your working with the Vortex material over the last week, and specifically any requests that you might have for how we spend our time today. There's some questions that are left over for you after going through the material, or some places that you feel stuck or anything like that. Those are the things that are most interesting to me, is how you are right now and what you would like today.
Okay, let's go with Charlene.
I'm feeling overwhelmed, like I don't have enough time to get things done. And so I think the need is to establish some order and stability. My request to myself is to establish priorities, and I know I do better with making a list, and I didn't do that today or recently. With the Vortex, I didn't leave class last time getting it all, but I have a better concept now. Before, when I had some baggage or stuff to deal with, it felt like I was just digging a hole and shoveling it back into the hole, not knowing what to do with it. But now I'm hopeful that there's a way to just get out of the hole, or fill that hole with light and sound or love, and I'm excited about that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Charlene. We'll go to Annie next, and then Janet.
I had one question, and that is, after the exercise where we were sitting with mourning, Jory asked us to find something that we were grateful for. And I've noticed this in other self-connection exercises that you lead, is that there's a request to move to gratitude. And I'm curious about that, why, what the intention is there from you guys. And the other thing that I wanted to share was how much your transparency is supporting my sense of self-acceptance. Jory using a real-life example to go through the vortex of submission made it so real and tangible for me. And I really appreciate that, that I'm okay just how I am, and I'm going to get pissed off again. And I have ways to deal with it now that are much more helpful. And so I just really want to say thank you to you, Jim and Jory, for your openness and transparency.
Thank you, Annie. I'm savoring that. Go to Janet.
The reason I came on this course, what I wanted was a much greater degree of self-acceptance. And I think that's something that I'm getting. It needs more work, but at least I feel I'm further along my path. That's my complaint.
Thank you. Doreen and then Jean.
I guess I would second the gratitude. This is really one of my first forays into nonviolent communication, compassionate communication, and I'm very grateful. Clear communication is really important to me, and I'm grateful for having some kind of a tool to help me think about it. I wish I were and hope, aspire to be quicker in incorporating it into my everyday life, but at least I find myself coming to an awareness at different points and thinking, okay, let's take a step back. If I have enough advanced warning, trying to incorporate some of what I've learned. And a few weeks ago on the call, I forget who mentioned about if we could just stop ourselves or become aware of where we are in these first steps and prevent the spiral down. And I really struck by that and thinking, yeah, how much easier and how much less complicated my life would be if I would nip it in the bud. So that's me, and I'm complete.
Thank you, Doreen. Jean and then Louise.
This is gratitude. My learning and my integration of the MVC. I could be in a space where I'm feeling a lot of mourning because I found myself back at the starting point of submission to have to. But the point is just that I looked at the sheet and I went, wait a minute, I have a choice. And so then I went to the next one and I went back to the exercises, and I was able, to, after doing the exercises, really say what I needed to say to a couple of people. That made a great difference in my day, and I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you, Jean. Louise, and then River.
Just really in a place where I'm so, so wanting clarity on the situation that's arisen around the damage in our house. I'm really glad to be here and just appreciate all the skills we're learning, because not only are they really timely with the depths of what all's going on in our lives, but in all these other people that we're getting to deal with in this situation, it's really useful. That's me. I'm in. No requests at the moment.
Okay. Thanks, Louise. River, and then Teresa.
I feel really grateful. I feel really full. And my experience with family, a couple of instances that some shame was triggered and I was able to notice it and deal with it internally, which was a real relief for me. So I'm celebrating that. I'm celebrating that my inner world feels a little larger.
Great. All right. Kim and Roberta.
I am very, very glad to be here tonight. I've had a couple of difficult challenges this week that I think before taking this course and learning more about this would have probably ended disastrously. But because of what I've learned and been able to incorporate, it wasn't fun going through them, but afterwards, oh my goodness, it was wonderful. Even relationship strengthening. For that, I am grateful for having heard of this course and for having had you, Jim, and Jory lead this course. I am left tonight with a little bit of sadness, actually, that this is the last night. I realize the sense of community that I feel here. I feel capable of better maneuvering through situations when they come up. proven that it can actually work to strengthen them. And for that, I'm so grateful, and I'm just glad to be here.
Thank you, Kim. And we'll go to Roberta next, and then we'll dive in.
I am so happy to hear everybody's voice. I love the sense in me of coming into community. It's almost like after this time, I feel like I'm with you all, whether it's in a bodily form or not. So it's just a really lovely sense, and I'm coming with a lot of gratitude for this whole process. Spent some time practicing recently, and it brings that and my life experience to a place of I now have actual tools, not just concepts, but actual tools, and a lot of gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. I'm really enriched hearing everyone's check-in, and I guess I'm just savoring the gratitude that I heard from all of you. I know I'm feeling a lot of gratitude, too, in the moment that you're out doing this work on yourselves and adding to the peace on the planet. That's the world that I want to live in, so it really brings a sense of meaning and purpose to me to hear how you guys are working this process.
I, too, am very stimulated in a variety of ways, listening to you all. Wish I could scoop you all up, all be together and be face-to-face. Noticing a little bit of mourning and not knowing how to hold the container that I'm so enjoying here. There's sort of a sweetness about it.
Thank you, Jory. And this question that I heard was something of why we include gratitude as such an integral part of self-connection. There's a couple ways I could answer it. I guess the main thing for me is it's a way of utilizing a very natural fuel source, that gratitude is a way to build our resources so that we can be more present to the things that aren't so much fun. When I go through a little self-empathy process or self-connection process, that takes some energy. And by then connecting to gratitude, it kind of rebuilds the reserve and helps me to be more present for the next time.
There's another piece of it for me in that having gratitude come as the sequence of mourning is that in some ways it's a really natural process that mourning, when we really connect to the depth of what's very meaningful, automatically moves into gratitude. There's this natural flow. And some of the natural flows that we have not been supported throughout our lives. So we have some habitual patterns, and particularly around mourning and some of these harder feelings, we can fall down what I call the rabbit hole of hopelessness, helplessness, and just the thinking that takes us really deeper into disconnection rather than reconnection. So by bringing appreciation into the end of a deep sadness is reconnecting certain synapses, or maybe just connecting them in general, to enable that kind of flow that really gives us some perspective. That really helps us to be clear that whatever it is we're mourning is just part of a bigger picture. That's what it's about for me. And Annie, having brought that, I'm wondering if there's anything you would like to say in relationship to what you heard or how you've experienced what you're asking about.
What came up for me in hearing you talk about it being a natural flow from mourning to gratitude was how much of the time since Floyd has passed away that when I have mourning come up that I always end up at gratitude, and I didn't understand that that was a natural flow. That is comforting. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
I'm touched to hear that happens for you because that supports my care for you and your well-being. As you say it, even in that way, it makes even more sense to me that, of course, there would be gratitude. You're mourning something so beautiful, that so meaningful, and to fall into that natural experience of gratitude, having had what you've had,
Yeah.
Is there more?
No.
Louise has her hand up. Louise.
I wanted to check to see if there was a couple minutes for me to share a story of the last week, kind of in a different way, but that also illuminates that process.
I'm wondering if also this is about something that happened that maybe would support you with some empathy as well.
Actually, it's a celebration of how I remembered to use the process.
So unless anyone's unwilling to hear that, I'd love to hear it.
Me too. So go ahead, Louise.
My husband and I and some helpers were back at our house. Things were moving very quickly. And he and I wanted something done differently from each other. I noticed that I had paint on several places of my coat. This coat that is so essential to my comfort suddenly had paint all over it. And I found myself just wanting so intensely to blame him for the paint on my coat. And I just noticed, I just wanted to get all over him about he was the cause of this and the situation. And I was able to notice that that was what was happening. And I remembered, Jory, what you said about just touching in with the sadness that this coat that matters so much to me now had oily paint on it. And what that could possibly mean, and just let that sadness and let the frustration that he and I, didn't see eye to eye in a moment. Things were moving really quickly. And then he came up to try to empathize. I just sank into this sadness that we were out of sorts, and that sadness put me out of the blame game and into that natural flow that you're talking about. And also the sadness that, we're doing the best we can and stuff happens. And then it came to this gratitude of, wow, look at my husband. He is so enthusiastically going about this process that's been really difficult for us. And look at him go. And so that gratitude for his energy and his attitude and enthusiasm. And I really wanted to share how that went and how happy I was that I was able to catch myself and later even process with him, tell him, I just wanted to blame you so much, and that we could unpack it and even laugh about it and learn from it. That's my story.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed hearing that story. All right. Let's just dive into the lesson today. We're calling the class today Perpetuating the Vortex and its Antidote, Taking 100% Responsibility. And so, as we pointed to last week, the vortex is sort of, in a life-alienated way, self-sustaining, because as you go around and if you act out and then you feel guilty about acting out, and now you deserve to submit again, and around you go. And without some kind of an intervention, the vortex is very likely to perpetuate until there's some kind of perceptual reorientation, and then you decide to go your separate ways, because who wants to live with the enemy? So you go and you find a new relationship or whatever, and because the pattern is so deep in us, we're real likely to get right back onto the vortex as soon as the honeymoon is over. And part of what I would like to point to today is how apparently universal this path is. Gordon and I have been mediating and specializing with working with couples for more than a dozen years now, and pretty much everybody that comes to see us, it becomes very clear that one of the sources of their problems, maybe not the only one, but one of the sources is this whole idea of submission and the violence that is the inevitable result. And also we've been teaching NBC now for 10 years and noticing the same thing in all kinds of situations, workplace relationships, parenting relationship as a child and as a parent. This pattern is endemic in our culture. I'm saying this for one reason. It's to just urge you to be gentle with yourself. You notice that you're on the vortex. What I'm trying to train myself to do is, welcome, old friend. Hello, vortex. Can I find a way to be grateful to see yet another opportunity I have to transform a submission to a surrender, or to find a way to say no in giraffe, or to heal an enemy image, or to get clear on what my request is, just to mourn? Can I welcome the opportunity, even if painful, that each of my experiences of the vortex offers me to wake up? I wish that for you all, too, now that you know it. Secondly, is since it's so endemic, it's really likely that the person you're in a relationship with is likely to hop onto the vortex at some point, and then we are confronted with a choice about whether to diagnose that the other person is on the vortex. This became really real for me this last week. Jory and I were in Atlanta at our retreat, and we ended up getting entangled about something that had happened at the retreat and right after the retreat. We were talking about it, and it was so clear, kind of from a place of being righteous, that I was right and that I had not submitted, and you know, I even was able to transform the sense of rightness into a sense of openness, that I was doing the best I could to meet some needs. And Jory really still seemed to be kind of stuck on something. And my mind being the way that it is and the habits that I've deeply ingrained, I started diagnosing her where she was on the vortex. Somehow I found the wisdom to keep my mouth shut. And I did not say my diagnosis out loud. In this particular case, I was diagnosing that she had an unexpressed expectation, that she was addicted to an outcome or something like that. And I'm pretty sure if in the heat of the moment I had said something like that, things could have gotten a lot worse. I am very grateful for the wisdom that I contacted to just kind of listen and give myself some empathy and to basically extend the net of permission to Jory, that Jory was doing the best she could at that moment. She had as much insight as she had in that moment, and she was living out of all the insight that she had available to her, and so it really wasn't my place to educate her on some place where she had fallen off the vortex. I just want to pause here and see if that stimulates any questions or comments from anybody. Okay, not seeing anything, then I'll just go through one other example of how endemic this is in our culture. And this requires a little bit of knowledge of history, and I'm not a historian by any stretch of the imagination, but this story really seems to illustrate kind of the cultural ramifications, even for world peace, that this pattern has. So if you think of our world as World War I coming to a close, there was this terribly bloody war in Europe. And as the war wound down, it became clear that Germany was the loser. And the powers that won, the United States included, imposed on Germany a set of expectations of how they would behave in a post-World War I world. And there was really no choice for the Germans, as far as they could see, but to submit, because there was actually the threat of continuing violence. It seems pretty clear that although there was maybe dancing in the street that the war was finally over, the Germans had experienced a sense of submission and capitulation to the Allies. And then if you look at what happened, they probably had some expectations about what they might get in return for submitting in the way that they did. And so that maybe they would be treated fairly and that they would be integrated into the worldwide community, that they might get some help in rebuilding their devastated country that had suffered so much from the various parts of the war. And what happened was none of those expectations were met. And so Germany as a people and its leaders were disappointed. They began to try to find some place to blame for the misfortune. So they transformed this deep feeling of blame and disappointment into a resentment, and it was pointed towards Jews and other people who were not pure in their mind. And so the enemy image was used as a very strong propaganda tool to begin to, quote, help the Germans feel better at the expense of Jews and Jehovah's Witnesses and gypsies and homosexuals and all kinds of people. The finger of blame was pointed, the enemy image was cemented, violent actions were inevitable, that violence
caused a violent response by the Allies again. World War II ensued with tens and hundreds of thousands, millions of people dying as a result of the violence, World War II, Holocaust, and so forth. And then I know from personal experience that many dear friends in Germany that are NBC trainers who are still touching their own guilt, like a racial guilt of what they perpetuated in World War II. And I'm just hopeful that because of the way we ended World War II with much more sense of reaching out a helping hand and helping to rebuild, that there was much less of a capitulation in the end of that war. And we have not seen cycle of violence increase, but somehow maybe we learned a lesson. Again, I just want to pause here and see if there's any questions or comments. So not seeing anything, then I want to break us up into small groups. I'd like to give you what the puzzle is I'd like you to work on in your group. You're going to be in a group of three, and first I'd like you to imagine a situation that might be coming up in your life. Based on your personal history, you probably know where you're most likely to submit in the future. So write down an observation of a situation that you think you might be confronting submission in the future. So, for example, in my own life, a really great repeating pattern for me is the telephone rings. I see a particular name on the other end of the phone, and I tell myself that this person's probably needing empathy, and it's a real chance for me to check in, and it's a place where when I see the need for empathy, I can often fall into a pattern of submission, even if it's not going to meet my needs, try to take this call. Maybe you can come up with an observation like that in your own life. Imagine a situation that you might confront an opportunity to submit. Here's what you're going to be doing in the small group, is using everything you know about NBC to support one another in finding some other strategies that you can use other than falling into the vortex. What can you do? What can you imagine doing that would be different than submitting based on what you've learned in the class?
You're now in your small group, and you can begin.
Okay, we're all back in together, and what I'd love to hear from you is how it was for you in terms of being in that group in relationship to being on the vortex. Some feedback about how you related. So, Kim.
I guess I'd just like to relate something that happened to me this week. I picked up on some similarities in a situation that happened to me this week in what we were discussing in our small group, kind of, sort of. At least I felt the similarity. And that was that something happened this week that I felt so guilty for. I just felt so badly for it. It had to do with our dogs, and my children love our dogs, and my husband loves our dogs, and everybody was very upset, and it was my fault. I was blaming myself. I had a huge blame. And the whole point of that was that I felt like I needed, so needed my husband just to say, it's okay. It's okay. And I didn't get that. And I think I needed that because I was feeling so badly about, I let their rabies certificate expire a couple of months ago, and they got in a fight with a raccoon, and the animal control came out. It was a big brouhaha. They were going to take our dogs away. Kids were upset. Everybody was upset, and I just felt so bad. I felt like I was beating up on myself, and I felt like if I just had my husband to tell me it's okay, then I would be all right. But I didn't get that. I didn't get that because he actually chose to step out of the vortex And he told me, he says, I just needed his support, and he couldn't give it because he didn't have it to give. And it made me stop and think, wow, wait a minute. Why am I looking to him for me to feel okay about this whole situation? I thanked him for that later. You know, I said, I am so glad you didn't choose to do something when you didn't have it to give, because he was hurting more than I was that this was happening about the dogs. He loves the dogs. They're his walking partners, and he was hurt. And later, the next day, he told me, you know, we talked about it, and we had a good cry over it, both of us. But I was so thankful that he did not step in and pretend that it was all okay. And I know that sounds so odd, but it was the first time I think that I really realized, I told him, I thank you for not going there. And it's been so much easier to bear, because it's almost like we joined in this bit of suffering rather than me looking to him to tell me it's okay, to give me that validation that what I did was not so bad after all. That's just something that happened to me this week, and I've learned to kind of handle that myself. You know, I messed up. That's okay. It just happens. We're actually good because of that. That was my experience this week, and I just wanted to share that. It actually helped me that someone did not give me the type of validation that I wanted at the time that I thought that that's what I needed.
I heard several things that I'd like to comment on in relationship to what you said. One is that you noticed for yourself that there was an unexpressed expectation or desire or something that you wanted from him. And I'm not really clear whether you actually took that next step to ask for what you wanted.
I did actually ask.
Yeah, so you asked, and then you didn't get what you wanted, and so you moved to that next step of disappointed and gave yourself enough empathy to be able to connect to your own need and then to be able to find another way to meet that. So you were able to notice it at one stage, address it, and still you ended up with the next stage of from unexpressed expectation to disappointment or disappointed and transform that because something mattered. Celebrating that with you.
Right. Before, I think I would not have ever made that request. I would have just laid there in my bed thinking, oh, how can he do this to me? He's not even saying a word, et cetera, et cetera.
So a celebration of making a different choice. You realize you have a choice. Partly this vortex of submission is about thinking we don't have any other choice. So you noticed you had a choice. And then even when he wasn't able to give you, or he was choosing not to, to be in his own integrity or whatever it was, but he didn't give you, for whatever reason, what you asked for, you were able to turn it into yourself and take responsibility for meeting your own need by letting yourself reassure yourself rather than get the reassurance from him.
I think that would be a fair description, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm really celebrating is this piece that I don't think we've talked about, I'm not recalling mentioning during this, is the beauty of the really deep learning when we really get that we don't want to receive something that isn't artfully given because we see price we'll pay.
I am so glad he didn't. When it wasn't there to give.
And I'm celebrating your learning in that, even that you got that, that that awareness is in you so deeply that you actually feel gratitude that someone has not given you what you asked, because you know that you would have paid a price, that it wouldn't have served him and it wouldn't have served you. So I'm so celebrating that clarity for you, that importance. Culmination of really integrating this work.
Right. I was just going to say, I think it helps to have someone, you know, that he understands it too. I think the situations are much more difficult when when we're dealing in a relationship when the other party doesn't quite understand where we're coming from.
Yeah, community in general helps, and the community when we're dealing with people who share, this doesn't have to be all us remembering. Someone else can remember too.
I think that the point I was trying to make was simply that I really did not get what I wanted from my husband. I didn't get that. What I was initially seeking is not what I got. I got a refusal of that, yet it was okay. And I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, thank you. That's the ultimate clarity about upgrading our addictions and our attachments from demands. Our request shifting from demand to real request consciousness. Really only want to receive this if it gives you joy and you can do it wholeheartedly.
This also relates to one of the themes that I was hoping to get to, which was of 100% responsibility. And I really taking the way that you experienced this as an expression that you were willing to take 100% responsibility for the whole thing, and that doesn't mean that the other person is not 100% responsible, but for me is that I'm trying to train myself to take 100% responsibility for whatever comes up into my life. I'd love to hear from some other folks about this.
And I'd just like to qualify that, since responsibility often sounds like a have to. In our domination culture, we've defined that as such. You know, somehow it's a have to or a should. To, in actuality, I use the phrase respondability, the ability to respond to what comes up in my life. I don't know how I got here some of the time, and sometimes it doesn't even matter, but here I am. And now I will respond in a life-serving way. And I'd love to hear from some others about how what you learned in your small group, or if there's other pieces that have arisen for you of what you've been working with. And Louise?
In my experience, what I learned in the process of putting my observation forward and people's insights and contributions around that was that one of the places I submit is I want to meet the other person's need, and mine sort of drops away. And so that illuminated that I want to bring more trust that bringing forth my need and then their needs, some trust that can work. I think in relation to this particular piece with my husband, I'll just jump to meet his needs. And just trusting that there's time and space and that in the end run we'll enjoy the results more than my just dropping my need off the table. It was insightful to kind of come to that trust piece.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is the trust you can actually find another way besides submitting to having your own needs not matter.
Right, let me say, to actually take the pause to self-connect. So the trust is in giving both of us the gift that I pause, slow down the process, and that it'll come out with a better overall result, that it really comes not only with trust, but sort of some finding that I matter within myself, that my needs matter at that time, too.
Got it.
Yeah, thank you for the clarity. And it's a valuable lesson to underline for me, too, to kind of like wanting to forgive myself in advance for all the times that are going to come up when I go ahead and submit to another person's need, even though I might know what my need is. That I still see this comes up mostly with Jory, of course, that she'll ask for something, and even though I'm pretty sure it's not going to meet my needs in the moment to do whatever it is that she's asking, that I find out that I do that anyway out of habit, and that I'm training myself to use that as a lesson. Eventually, I do wake up that I did that, and so then it's similar to that beneficial regret process to keep your need, Jory's need in this case, in one hand, and my need in the other that maybe I was ignoring or squelching in some other way, and then to just
sit with both of those needs and just to consider, I'll bet I could get out of this creativity crisis, find some kind of a strategy that might meet both needs here. Also to remember that needs don't have to be met simultaneous. Maybe that's why God invented time, so we would have time to get everybody's needs met. And so those are the two things that I'm working with. Anything come up for you hearing that, Louise?
Yeah, that was way on the mark, as well as remembering also in our group process that I can make an agreement with my husband. I did this a long time ago, and it's bringing it up for a possibility for a refreshment, is see if he would like to join me in this agreement, that I'm going to pause more often and take some time to self-connect and find my need. And my hope is that he'll join me in that, and it may be sort of slow on the front end of the learning curve, but really worthwhile. My group process helped that come back to the surface.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I guess I'm inspired by what you say, and I'm just kind of relishing some of my own experience. I think Joy and I first learned this model that we've developed into the Vortex. We learned about it back in the mid-80s, and I'm happy to report that I submit less now than I did back in the 80s. And that's, you know, coming from what I consider a culture very steeped in domination, growing up in Atlanta and going to the schools that I went to and so forth, where submission was actually rewarded substantially, and I really learned a lot of lessons about how to be a good boy. So I'm pretty stoked remembering how far I've come and how I'm kind of holding more needs in consciousness and having more patience about getting them looked at and satisfied. Okay, I'd love to hear from anybody else that has something that they learned in the small group that you'd like to share with us, maybe a strategic idea that you had or something that you learned about your own process. Charlene.
Well, I didn't think there was going to be a solution, but someone in my group said, maybe did I need some empathy? And everything shifted for me. I actually would have liked empathy from my daughter, but I'm beginning to think, someone talked about weight, and maybe part of that weight I can incorporate self-empathy as maybe that's a good habit. Everything shifted when the concept of empathy came into play for me. I didn't want to blame her anymore. I just wanted some compassion for the situation and then try to find a solution. I was really grateful for that time.
Yay! Thanks for sharing that. Jory is doing a little yay dance, too, as she walks by.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Janet, is there anything you'd like to add to this discussion?
I noticed when I was working in our small group, I ran out of ideas, and I really could use some constructive feedback. So I quite simply asked for some help and asked for his comments. And it worked really well for me because he came in with lots of ideas that I never would have thought of myself. And I really learned from him. So I'm really grateful.
The power of a request and the power of community. We don't have to do it all ourselves. Thank you for sharing that, Janet.
Thank you.
Okay, how about any final hanging chads? Any questions that have been sticking in your craw that you weren't sure there maybe would be time to ask them, or maybe you didn't want to ask them, you're just going to submit and suffer but not getting an answer, anything like that? Or just a curiosity or anything before we move into the final part of our time together? Go ahead, Annie, you're live.
I'm really curious about the 100% respondability, and I don't know if there's time for you to say more about that today, but maybe you could point me in the direction of where I could look or listen for more about that.
Yeah, I can say probably a little bit about it and then also give you a pointer to a book that was inspiring for me recently. The idea of 100% responsibility is that, for me, it beats the alternative. If I let other people take responsibility for what's going on in my life, then I disempower myself. If I'm willing to take 100% responsibility, that means that I'm 100% powerful to create the world that I want to live in. So that's it in a nutshell. For me, it just epitomizes the world that I want to live in, that acknowledges my position as the creative cause of my own experience.
and Jory wants to chime in, then I'll give you the resource.
The reality is, if we start to, as we grow in capacity, we see that we always have a choice. That's what responsibility means to me. We always have a choice. We may not have the choice we would like. Our choices may be limited by situations, and almost always are, and circumstances. And still, to tap into that internal place of choice, I have always have a choice of how I respond to what happens, what I do with even my own reaction, what my relationship is to what's going on. There's so much internal choice and capacity and the way I frame what's going on. And for me, that's taking total responsibility, is to look inside and reframe, re-access that place of choice. I'm wondering if anything comes up for you as you hear all that, Annie.
Yeah, it reminds me of something my dad's been telling me for probably 40 years. That it's not what happens to you, it's how you deal with what happens to you in life that is what's going on for you. I can't remember what the is part of it, but it's not so much what happens outside, but what happens inside in response that is where we have our power.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Annie. And the resource is a book called Zero Limits, Zero Limits, by Joe Vitale, V-I-T-A-L-E, and Dr. Hugh Len, H-E-W-L-E-N. It's a book about Ho'oponopono, which is inspired by the ancient Hawaiian method of conflict resolution. And basically, Dr. Hugh Len took this ancient practice of Ho'oponopono and figured out a way to make it a very powerful self-empathy practice and growth practice. And the undercurrent of it, the presupposition of it, is this 100% responsibility. And I saw a couple other hands up, and so I'm going to go to these folks first, but we're going to move into a checkout. So this will be not only a chance to ask your question and maybe get a brief answer, but also to check out. So we'll start with Charlene and then go to Kim. Charlene.
I just am grateful, and I just feel happier with myself, and not happy every moment, accepting myself. I accept myself, and I feel like I got to know myself better through this class. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlene. I'm really glad you were in the class with us. I appreciate all your questions and your willingness to share what was going on with you throughout the class. Next to Kim. And then to Roberta.
My question basically was, I was just making the observation that on two points of the vortex chart that you gave us, the communication pattern that we use is both deserve. I was just looking over it this week, and I was getting a little bit confused in my mind as to why both of those points are deserve. Maybe there's a quick distinction there between the two.
Sure. You know, if I really sit with the vortex long enough, I can probably find all four of these life-animated communication patterns in each of them. I think that part of our thinking in putting deserve on there twice was to kind of point out how deep this deserve programming is within us, and how when we look through the lens of deserve, that violence is almost always right around the corner. Whether it's the deserving punishment or deserving reward, that is a kind of an underlying miscommunication pattern or this life-alienated communication pattern.
Yeah, basically when we're in deserve thinking, we're playing God, and it's two different places on the vortex. We're yelling out someone deserves in terms of punishment when we act out of our resentment. And then when we submit because we feel shame about our behavior, then we're acting out of reward. The other person deserves a reward. They're better than us. They deserve better.
That's very good. Thank you. Thank you. As a way of checkout, I'd just like to say I've noticed in myself, and I think I've noticed in others in the group, just a change in reflection of everyone's voices. You know, when we first started this, the first session was like, you could almost hear the trepidation and the
insecurity, I almost want to say, in myself anyway. And I've noticed a strengthening of everyone's voices throughout this. And I just think that speaks well of the course and of you, Nancy's, and perhaps that's just my gratitude for what I've learned speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. I'm really glad that you were part of the class as well. Roberta, and then Teresa.
I've so enjoyed the group practices during the classes and the small group practice, so I want to say thank you for that. And tonight, I leave with a map. I leave with a map to lead me on the next steps of my NBC journey. The comments tonight, Jim, that you made about the historical peace and Germany gives me a lot of food for thought, how one action can become part of a collective consciousness. So I thank you.
Thank you. Janet and then Louise.
I feel as I'm going from one stepping stone to another, and I'm feeling well and truly on my journey now. It's helped a lot with my confidence and self-acceptance as well.
Thank you, Louise, and then Doreen.
I want to express my gratitude for this group and shared intention and joining together in making a different world. And also, just on a quick note about this session itself, I really loved when we came out of our small groups that you asked if we noticed if any of our patterns showed up within the small group. And even though there wasn't a lot of feedback on that particular question, I loved that you asked that question. I am just deeply grateful for how much I have to bring into my life, and it's a lot. I'll be integrating it for, well, just the rest of my lifetime, but I hope in some significant way right now and in the short term and ongoingly. So thank you, and I'm complete.
Thank you, Louise. Doreen, and then River, then Jean.
I, too, am glad that this particular group is ending, but I'm excited by the various emails that come my way and just poking around on the NBC Academy website, different websites of how many resources are out there. So borrowing the metaphor of stepping stones, I see this as hopefully the first of many. So thank you.
River, and then Jean.
I am just busting with gratitude for NBC in particular, willingness to grow in general, and this is my second experience with a class on the Vortex, and it's a great reminder. It allows me to take concepts and learnings deeper and apply them in a way that is just part of the integration process. So I'm really grateful that it's come around again, and I might even do it a third time next time I notice it coming up. And I really appreciate being with everyone. I really appreciate the genuine connections that do happen, that we have shared and offered through this medium. So thanks for including me, and I'm glad I included me. I think that's enough for the moment.
Thank you, Jean, and then Jim.
Well, I'm also experiencing sadness that the class is ending. I feel like I've grown a lot and learned a lot, this understanding of the Vortex. I'm very grateful, and I'm celebrating that. It feels like a core place for me to continue to integrate the NBC in my life.
Thanks. I'm checking out with kind of mixed feelings. I really enjoyed practically every single moment of this class today and for the last weeks. It really has helped clarify how we teach this, helped us become more brief in the lesson parts and expand the practice parts, which I think is important. I'm pretty sure that you guys get a lot more out of the practice and your interactions with each other than anything that we say. I'm appreciative of those lessons. And I'm really glad to have it in my face for the last 10 weeks because it helps to keep me awake. And I'm now complete. Jory?
Hey, after all this time together, I just really treasure this community, and there's a sweetness. And my mind just is moving toward how do I keep this connection with you all? And some of you I have had already ongoing connection with, and I'm very thankful for that. And some of you I may have some clarity about how it continues. Some of you I don't. Really treasured my time with you. That end, I'm complete.
Aloha.
Thank you so much.
This recording is copyrighted by the NVC Academy and is for personal use only. To support our sustainability, redistribution of this recording is prohibited without written consent of the NVC Academy. Thank you.